Did you know there might be proof for the Star of Bethlehem marking the birth of Christ? Or that there's a date that's been pinpointed for the crucifixion of Christ as April 3rd, 33 AD? Intrigued? I am. There's a new film coming out that talks about this and much more. Stay tuned and find out more in today's episode.
Welcome to your online coffee break, where we discuss bite-sized topics that inspire, educate, and entertain. Here's your host, a software innovator, award-winning marketer, and astronomy and space buff, Chuck Fields.
Hello, thanks for joining me today for your online coffee break. I'm your host, Chuck, back after a long break. It's been almost a year since my mom passed away. It's been a very challenging year, but also a great year for growth and a great year to grow closer to Christ, which I've really enjoyed. And one of the things that leads me to that is today there's a new film that I want to discuss called God of Heaven and Earth. It's coming to theaters on November 5th and 6th. I know you're going to love it. Here's a sneak preview.
Events he put in motion proclaiming the birth and death of Jesus actually happened. Now, science and technology reveal an astounding amount of evidence, declaring the most pivotal events in history, the birth of Jesus and his death and resurrection. Journey and see with your own eyes the mysteries and wonders God left for the world to discover. The creator of the universe is not hidden. He invites us to seek and see without a doubt that he is God of heaven and earth.
Elliot, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, Chuck, thanks so much for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, we're really excited about this event coming up on November 5th and 6th, where you're releasing God of Heaven and Earth. And I want to thank your team for giving me a little sneak peek of it, because I was very impressed. But I was wondering if you could, in your own words, tell our audience, what is God of Heaven and Earth?
Well, you know, God of Heaven and Earth makes a very compelling case as to what the Star of Bethlehem was. You know, when people are... you know, when people think about what was it that made these guys travel 700 miles to go see Herod, you know, which I would personally, I'd be terrified to meet Herod. He looks like a pretty dangerous guy, you know, and I don't think the journey was all that safe either. What did they see? What did they see in the sky that not just convinced them to go right, you know, to go there, you know, to go there to go see Herod? And then of all things, to go to a king and say, we're here to worship the king of Israel. That had to be, what did they see in the sky to make them do that? And there's so many things, like, I think all of us when, you know, growing up, you know, in the nativity scene, I mean, when I grew up, it was like at every mall, you know, and everybody was always there. You had the donkey, you had the three wise men, which was funny because three gifts, well, I guess one gift, one wise man, three wise men, you know, and, you know, we all kind of were familiar. But when you start really drilling down in the story, it starts to get pretty marvelous and kind of almost unbelievable. You know, why would a star hang over Bethlehem? This movie takes it answers all of that in a very scientific fashion with the discoveries that this gentleman's made. And what I think is so incredible about it, aside from, you know, walking through everything, it not just the birth of Christ, but also the there's so much more to it that people would just be shocked about. Because what ends up happening if you buy into this theory, and like I say, and I don't know if you know much about who began it, but this guy named Rick Larson is the one that put this together. Now, he's formerly a very, very, one of the better trademark attorneys, a very, very successful trademark attorney. But I think more importantly to this, he's an intellect. You know, we could all remember guys like that in high school that if they would have just pointed themselves at any direction, you know, they would have just mastered it. And what he was doing is he was putting together like biblical material for his church, for new Christians coming in. And it was putting together a block on external evidences. And he discovered this thing by this astronomer that thought he had discovered what the actual Star of Bethlehem was. So he deep dived into it way deeper than anybody. But you have this intellect, but you also have this great familiarity with scripture. And he starts seeing and finding things and puts it into a format he does this presentation, it just spreads like wildfire. Pretty soon people are requesting, he's kind of like Yugoslavia or former Yugoslavia, like he's gone all over the world, people asking him. But to me, what's so fascinating is that if you buy into this, it establishes a crucifixion date of April 3rd, 33 AD. There's only one that works because of what we know in scripture and this timing of the sky. So he's looking in the Bible going, is there anything else that I can find now that I know when to look? And in Matthew 27, it talks about an earthquake. And, you know, for those that don't remember, I mean, or maybe you're unfamiliar, there was a crucifixion. Christ dies. And when he dies, there's an earthquake. And it was so powerful that the Bible says it terrified everybody up there. But this particular soldier saw it, like he experienced it. And when it happened, he was like, well, surely this was the Son of God. It just convicted him. So what's amazing in the last bit of this film, it proves that an earthquake happened in 33 AD. Now, I don't care if somebody's an atheist or evangelist, but you don't get to walk away from the film. If you're not convinced that an earthquake happened in 33 AD, I don't, because you could see it. You can absolutely see it. Right. But to me, it's like, I don't know where you live, but I live in Washington. I cannot prove to you that an earthquake happened in Ridgeville, Washington, or Seattle, Washington, or San Francisco, not in 33 AD. I could say, yeah, one happened. Maybe I might be able to guess like a few centuries if I'm lucky, but to the year? But you can. It's so crazy that the one place where it becomes the most important to be able to prove a specific earthquake to a year, and it's in Jerusalem, of all places, the place where the most, in my mind, at least the most significant earthquake in history, period. You know, identifying the death on the cross where Christ made the payment right there, marking it in the earth. It's just incredible. I'm like, I can't tell you how excited I am for people to see this, because it's not just about the like, for me, when I was a person of faith, when I started getting introduced to this evidence, and it was very convicting. And yes, it definitely strengthened my faith. But my journey, my personal journey, is when I wasn't a believer, was I needed to be convicted through science and through faith. I'm an intellect by nature. I love the idea of people, of this introducing people to the idea of going out and exploring it. Because if what I believe is true, if our word is true, if our faith is true, it can take the scrutiny. Man, go for it. Let her rip. Look with all of your heart and you're going to find God. And that's where we actually end the film with that scripture. Because in my mind, that's what, you know, Rick Larson did, is he looked with everything he had. You know, our church says, give your time, your treasure, and your talent, man. He threw all three of them at him, and you got to enjoy the fruits of that with God of heaven and earth.
Absolutely. And it's so powerful. And I sort of love the crescendo, because I'm a believer Christian first, but I'm also, like you, intellect. Those of you watching can see and know that I'm into space and everything. And I've always wondered, you know, how could we prove it? And I've heard some, like one bit of the story about the Star of Bethlehem in advance of this, but watching Rick Larson explain this and go just deeper and deeper, and then culminating in the earthquake, I was blown away too. I was so excited. So I, like you, am obviously proud to share this with audiences. I want everyone to go see this and truly understand. How do you, I guess, your role as producer, what was your role with this film?
Okay, well, my background actually goes all the way back. I've been in this business for about 20 years. And initially, what I did was a lot of the publicity and promotion. I used to manage all of the publicity for, you should qualify that, faith publicity, you know, for 20th Century Fox. Now, they would not necessarily just give me a faith, you know, faith-driven film. It would be like if it was a family-friendly film, you know, and then, you know, if it was a faith film. Well, you know, so this is what I did. That's when I started getting introduced, you know, to Rick. And then seeing this initial thing with what he did with Star of Bethlehem and seeing the footage that existed, we're a unique model because we're also a production company, you know. And so we were able to take existing footage that he had, you know, because he's the one that went out there, you know, into Israel, you know, sets and like actually look like I wasn't there with him, you know. But what we did is we kind of took all the assets that were there, created additional ones, and then created the film that you see. You know, and then put it out there, you know, as people, you know, look me up or Google me or my company, Edify Films, you know, one of the things they're going to find a lot of is Wind Calls the Heart. And Wind Calls the Heart, it's a TV show on the Hallmark Channel. And it's kind of funny because this is shocking. It's filming its 11th season right now. And some of your listeners might be, yeah, oh, you guys are in it?
No. I was just saying the 11th season is amazing to me. I mean, you know, I mean, what an incredible thing. Cause I just literally, that was really just announced recently about the 11th season, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, they've been filming it. And then what I get a kick out of is Michael Landon Jr., who's, you know, I've known this guy 20 years, a very dear friend. I just adore him. But he is, you know, everybody knows his father, you know, being Michael Landon. I get the biggest kick that Michael Landon, you know, that Wind Calls the Heart could actually go longer. You know, who knows? You know, what if it outgoes bananas? That'd be funny. You know, but, you know, what we do is we do the distribution. So if we actually have the domain name. So if you go to windcallstheheart.com, that redirects to our store where you'd find, you know, a number of, you know, a variety of things, you know, faith product, but a lot of Wind Calls the Heart. I find that when I'm meeting just even people in my own town, it's like I find there's two kinds, people that have never heard of Wind Calls the Heart. And then people all of a sudden, I'm like in the room, I'm like cooler than a submarine commander because I've been initiated with the, you know, with the show. But on the faith side, you know, it was inspired by a set of books by a very, very popular Christian author named Jeanette Oak. And same thing with her. I adore, she's one of my finest human beings I've ever met. She's such an amazing lady. But think about it, she has almost 30 million books in print, you know, and so it's inspired by her set of books. But my vision is I think movies are the most powerful art form ever created by man. My dream, my prayer to God is that he uses me to create films that inspire people, that help people live better lives, that maybe even change the world. I mean, I think movies are that powerful. You know, my son would argue maybe video games. I stand my ground. I think in 90 minutes, you can watch a movie and literally decide to change your life. Now, sadly, you can watch a movie and decide to do a bad thing too, you know, but you know, one of the things I talk about is I think if I was to say to you, Chuck, like, hey, what do you think is the most successful faith-based film of all time? You know, you might say, I'm curious because you're thinking, I'm curious what you would come up with.
Well, that is interesting. I mean, I know you were actually involved with promoting Passion of the Christ, which was very successful. I'm also a fan of the Chosen. So that's more of a series that goes on. So it's really hard to I love King of Kings, the original one in the 1960. I think, I mean, it was phenomenal. So it's hard to pick one.
I think you came up with a good guess that, you know, because a lot of people, when I ask that, they do tend to gravitate to the Passion because that's what we're familiar with. And it's an understandable guess. It was $370 million at the box office. It was the seventh highest grossing film in history at the time. But the thing is, as any of us know, I used to buy a candy bar for a dime, you know, when I was a kid, you know, that dates me maybe a little bit. But the fact is that when you factor in inflation, the most successful faith-based film financially of all time would be the Ten Commandments. In today's dollars, over $1 billion. Could you imagine that? And the other one would be Ben-Hur. That would have done over $900 million. Third place would be The Robe. That was over $600 million. Now, then fourth, for those of you playing at home, was The Bells of St. Mary, which I think was in 1949. But the point is you had three movies from 1953 to 1959, 6 years, that generated almost $3 billion, $3 billion, you know? And so with me, I mean, my dream as a aspiring filmmaker is, you know, you look at that and go, why weren't there more? You know, why? I mean, clearly the money's there, you know, but where your treasure is, your heart will be also, you know, a lot of times people are making movies that they want to see, you know? If I was ever blessed with those kind of resources, I guarantee you, I would love nothing more than to bring the Bible life. That would be my big dream. But even in a way, I don't think the most successful faith-based film of all time is any of the ones I mentioned. Because if you're talking about eyeballs, you're talking about getting in front of people, you're talking about inspiring life change, I think the most successful faith-based film in history is It's a Wonderful Life. Wow. Because if you watch that, if that movie came out today, they would go to hire somebody like what I used to do and say, go find the Christian market. Tell them about this movie. We've got It's a Wonderful Life. It's got an angel. You know, we think it's really good. And it would get out there and it would be targeted and it would be positioned as a faith-based film. But when it came out, it really wasn't seen that way because it was a film, but it was released to a faith-based country. You know, that was the taste, you know, of the time. Right. You know, but when it, I mean, I don't know what the deal was, but it felt like it was on every channel all day long. You know, but it inspired people to live better and love their neighbor and appreciate their family, appreciate their life. You know, I can't imagine anybody watching that movie and on the way home robbing a liquor store. You know, I just think right. I just can't, you know, and to me, that's the kind of thing that I would love to be a part of. That's the kind of thing, the idea of, see, honestly, Chuck, when you tell me that God of heaven and earth impacted you, that you don't know what that means to me. Just that one person, it just means so much to me that's everything. Like the idea that somebody can go in and impact your faith, and whether you don't have one, I mean, this would be the real, I mean, right, this is the real golden ring. Like somebody walks in, they don't have a faith, and then they leave and go, you know what, I'm going to find a church. I want to find out if this guy's nuts, because this was pretty interesting stuff. You know, if for that matter, if somebody out there is listening and you got like your Uncle Bob or whatever, and you know, he's over it. Like he does not want to hear any more about your church. He's glad you like it. The music is not for him, whatever. But you've got this, but he loves National Geographic and Discovery, loves a mystery. Take him to this. This is not anything he's going to feel preached at. You know, it's not like Rick, you know, flees from his faith. It's there, but it's very interesting. It's very scientific. It's the case is prosecuted real well. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. I don't care, because it's not like, you know, everybody knows about the nativity scene and the Star of Bethlehem. It's not like it's a secret. Everybody knows. But the problem is every cartoon and movie and everything you see, it always looks like a, like some kind of police helicopter in a bad neighborhood, right? Like the lights up there shining down, you know, I mean, who would miss that? You know, Herod had to have it explained to him. What was this thing? You know, it wasn't like that, but everybody's familiar with it. It's kind of a good one to bring anybody to, you know, but, and I'm not saying like, you know, to drive box office, I'm saying it because to me, what feeds me is affecting people. I would love nothing more. That would be the golden ring, that if somebody brought, you know, somebody out there, they know who I'm talking about. Bring them. There's popcorn. There'll be food, you know, bring them. Right. And then hopefully it impacts. And for those of you with a faith, you know, my personal journey, this was a big thing to me. It was to be able to have the Bible. When I started looking into it realistically and finding out, I mean, I called myself a Christian my whole life, but to really all of a sudden, when I had this, the tragedy befall me when I was in the military, and I really had to look and go, okay, this is important. I really need to know what I believe. And if I'm going to believe in a God and give my life to him, because certainly when I'm going to die, I'm going to find out, I want to know it based on fact, not my friends, not the way I was raised. I want to have evidence. And that's where to have this be our first theatrical release for a person like me, man, this is awesome. This is just it awesome. Is. Welcome. You know, this is so cool to me. But just like I say, just the chance to be able to go out and really introduce this evidence to so many people who are living their lives right now. And you're not even, your faith isn't even as strong as it could be when you leave our film. That's exciting to me. That's what I hope for you. That's our.
That is true. And Elliot, again, how can people see God, Heaven, and Earth?
Okay, so just go to godofheavenandearth.com and watch the trailer, because we think it's pretty good. And then, you know, and then that you'll see a link there that'll redirect you where you can go, and it'll tell you what theaters are playing. This is absolutely incredible. It's a national release. And what I mean by that is if you live in like a, not even a, like if you live in a relatively major place, you know, some place that people have heard of, there's almost for sure going to be a theater around you somewhere. Almost. I mean, you know, don't write me letters if I'm wrong. There's gonna be exceptions, but it's, you know, predominantly in my own little sample. It's funny when I bring it up to my friends, like, oh yeah, it's right here, it's right by my house, you know, or something. It's close, but even a bit of a drive, I think it's gonna be worth it to you, you know, and definitely worth it to bring Uncle.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was checking too. I'm in Indianapolis, by the way, and I checked out. I was surprised how many theaters around us that are going to have it. So, yeah, I encourage everyone to go to godofheavenandearthfilm.com to check it out. Elliot, we're excited about this film. I want to congratulate you and your team, and I just want to thank you so much for taking time to join us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it. Hope to see you again, Chuck.
Online coffee break.
Well, I really enjoyed my conversation with Elliot today, and I'm so excited about the new film, God of Heaven and Earth. Really encourage you to check that out again, November 5th and 6th. If you'd like to find out more, just go to their website, godofheavenandearth.com. I want to thank Elliot for joining me today. I want to thank you for joining me as well. Again, if you can do me a favor and give us a thumbs up or share this episode with a friend, I'd certainly appreciate it. Thanks so much for joining me. Have a great day. God bless.